by my Wu-Tang style.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's Chase and Michelle. Every Monday at 10:30, we talk to Jonathan Hutton about Kick 360. He is presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined. Hut, what's up, my man?
Hey, Hut.
Good morning, guys. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, so we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. How was the Super Bowl experience for you and Chad?
It was a blast. Look, it's always a whirlwind. Seeing it, some great guests, great friends. It was cool seeing Stillman there as well, giving great coverage for you guys. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I thought the guest list this year on Radio Row, just a little inside baseball for everyone listening, like the last 2 years, you know, it's been down. You know, protocols, people not wanting to put up with all the stuff, and now it felt more like a Super Bowl. And then next year in Vegas is just going to be crazy. So, yeah, honestly, the conversation in Arizona was about Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. So it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be cranked up to 11.
One of the guys that you had on was Hendon Hooker, Tennessee Vols quarterback and now an NFL prospect. I've seen some, you know, NFL draft gurus that have him in some places listed as the third best quarterback in this draft. I know he talked about his health and that he's going to feel good for training camp. I look at him, though, and I think the Titans could be a perfect example of a team that would be interested in him that, you know, you don't necessarily have to lean on him to start year one. You could use it as a redshirt year, let him grow. But I think there's a lot of intrigue with Hendon Hooker when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, the sit back for a year line of thinking, at least for me, has to do with the knee as much as anything else. And I think at worst, like his floor is he's just a really good number two backup quarterback in the league. You know, his age is something to consider if you're looking to invest long term, but I don't know why, after seeing the way he's playing, the way he protects the football, how he makes changes and calls at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I think that's something to consider for, you know, the Titans, who could bring back Tannehill and still invest in a quarterback beyond Malik Willis based on what we saw last season. And look, I think the other thing for Hooker is where is the ACL rehab? And we're going to get a lot of that at the combine. The medicals mean as much as anything else, and honestly mean more than anything else for Hendon Hooker and so many players. And whenever the NFL team doctors get a chance to, we call it the cattle prod, right? Like, you figure out, every single team figures out where players are based on their personal organizational assessment of injuries. That's where we'll get a sense about where he slots, because if it's something that's not as optimistic, and I have no reason not to believe Hendon on this, but he thinks he's back by camp. But if he's not, if you still have to slow play it a bit, if he's not ready until the season, if he's not ready to do much, you know, full contact or anything like that, that's okay. I think certain teams will be in position to do it. The Titans could be one of those teams. And the Titans could be the benefactor of having a second or third round pick where you get him. I don't think he falls that far to the third, but, you know, could he be pick 42? Sure. I mean, that's something I would highly consider.
But in talking to Jonathan Hutton, knowing that they've missed on some injured players, whether it be draft or free agency before, knowing that it's a new GM and knowing that they got a ton of holes they got to fill, would it be the smart move to spend a second-round pick on a guy like Hendon Hooker, also knowing that you just spent a third on Malik Willis?
Well, if you're going to do that, knowing that you spent the third on Malik Willis, if you're going to do that, now's the time to do it, with John Robinson gone and Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel collaborated on how they're going to retool this roster, rebuild this roster. Look, I think you have to figure out the here and now for 2023, but also look forward beyond that. Vrabel, I can tell you, is not doing anything but looking at 2023. Carthon is looking and trying to figure out the cap to build towards the future as well. And that's the delicate balance of trying to stay competitive, which I think is a bit more of an optimist view based on the division that they're in, Chase. But consider where the Kansas City Chiefs were in 2016. They were regular season successful. Alex Smith was the quarterback. They were coming off like a 12-win regular season, and they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes comes in, Andy Reid, they invest in him. It's like the 12th pick. They let him sit behind Alex Smith, and then we've seen what's happened the next 5 years after his rookie season where he didn't do much. Like it was apparent they had invested in their future, but they were still trying to keep their core together. The difference between that example and where the Titans are, the Kansas City Chiefs had a good offensive line then, and they had a salary cap that was much more manageable than what the Titans are going to the offseason with, where they're currently $21 million over the cap, based on all the projections and what we know of where they are before they make a move salary-wise. So I tend to lean towards, I understand there's so many holes you have to choose from, you have to figure this out, but we're going to know a lot based on the Tannehill decision. If they restructure, if they bring him back instead of saving the $18 million, then they can invest in the rookie and have the best of both worlds, where Tannehill is not the long-term future, but it doesn't mean you can't go get that guy in the draft and still pick and choose where you're going to upgrade rookie-wise. That's what he's hired to do. Rand Carthon and his staff are going to make their money and their success or failure based on where they invest in the later rounds of the draft. How they figure out who fits them and which pieces need to be the young core versus how they go about and supplement players through free agency. And that's what San Francisco's done so well. And that's what he's been tasked to do here.
We've got Jonathan Hutton on with us from Outkick 360. Jonathan, sticking with the Hendon Hooker conversation, obviously his injury, let's just say, you know, full recovery from the ACL. People say, you know, the offense he ran in college, it traditionally does not transfer well into the NFL. Looking at Hendon Hooker as a prospect, he's an older guy, he's got a great football IQ. What type of quarterback, and I know we never truly know, but what type of quarterback do you think that he could be in the NFL someday?
I think right now, baseline, you have to figure that he's going to be a great guy in the locker room, great leader, solid contributor to your overall roster, right? And that's where the league is trending, his style. The Titans are already telling us that they were considering leaning that way by drafting Malik Willis last year. That was a different version of what we've seen them do through Tannehill. Like, that was investing more in the mobile quarterback, the run game, the offensive line. They were still headed that direction with all the question marks about Malik Willis in the pass game. Hendon Hooker is light years better. We've seen it for ourselves with what we've seen him do throwing the football. And, you know, Chad asked the question to him on Radio Row about the biggest misconception about what people assume he is versus what he believes he is. And he was smiling during the question, because he really popped back and just said, it's the fact that I'm not surveying the defense, reading the defense, and going through progression. That it's just one call, one look, one read, and it's so fast that it benefits the quarterback, and it's not that difficult to figure out which direction you're going with the football. And he said it's far more intricate than that, and he looks forward to proving it on the dry erase board whenever he jumps into the combine meetings. And honestly, he's already done that. Mm-hmm. He did that at the Senior Bowl, where he was able to meet with all 32 teams. And I'm sure they had those types of discussions with him.
Taking a look at the NFL as a whole, Eric Bieniemy has just been named the assistant head coach with the Commanders and offensive coordinator. Why do you think it's taken him so long to get, you know, another offensive coordinator job? Or I look at a guy like Steichen, who is the new Colts head coach, who has less experience with him, but, you know, still got that head coaching position, Hutton.
I think with Steichen, it's familiarity. From the Colts perspective, it's the familiarity of the Frank Reich
tree.
Yeah, it's the, you know, they were together in San Diego with the Chargers. Steichen, whenever Reich was the offensive coordinator, then Steichen follows Sirianni, who was with Reich as his OC, to Philly. They see what Sirianni's done after leaving Indianapolis and going to Philly, and then they had Steichen, who's just a younger version of Sirianni. He's more fiery than Frank Reich. And I think that's ultimately what leads them to say, hey, they work together in building up Jalen Hurts. We're about to draft potentially Bryce Young or whoever. Let's pair this together and let's go get it. Now, easier said than done, because now we're going to see Steichen call plays as a first-time head coach, and that's not easy. He can really slow down and pump the brakes on the organization even more if he's slow out of the gate at doing that and not figuring out. If he doesn't know what he doesn't know, that's a bad sign for Indianapolis. Eric Bieniemy has, he's interviewed, 15 or 16 different times for a head coach. And there have been opportunities, even last year at this time, I think if we went back, February the 20th, I think if we went back to early February, mid-February last year, we still didn't know if Bieniemy was going to return to Kansas City, even if he didn't get a head coaching position. And they were slow out of the gate there. I wonder, if he's been looking around for the opportunity that he received in Washington to get out from underneath Andy Reid. And immediately after the Super Bowl, Reid even mentioned, hey, I hope Bieniemy gets a chance to run the show. At no point did I see or read comments from Kansas City trying to keep him. And the other peculiar thing, at least to me, is there's a lot of chatter about Eric Bieniemy year after year with all these reasons why he's not getting hired, and I never hear from Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear his side of it before jumping to conclusions like everyone else is doing from a national perspective as to why or why not he's not getting jobs.
Hey, Hutton, make sure to give a go Wildcats to Chad for me this afternoon, okay?
I'll do it the minute I see him. I'm going to let him know, Michelle.
Let him know it came from yours truly.
I'm sure that will go over well.
I will.
All right, Hut, appreciate the time as always. I know we'll be hearing from you on Wednesday with Caroline, Willie, and D. Mason. We'll talk to you next week and be listening today starting at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yep.
Sounds good, guys. Always enjoy the conversation. Have a good day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan alongside Chad Withrow. Appreciate him for joining us. Coming up next, there are a few other things that took place over the weekend, kind of a best of the rest. We will do that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.